State ascoltando SBS Italian.
Sono Magica Fossati, questa è Radio SBS e oggi stiamo parlando con Anthony Bertini, che è l'autore di un nuovo libro per bambini e bambine, ma non solo, che si intitola Where Happiness Hides. Anthony Bertini è di origine italiana, parla un po' di italiano, ma si sente più a suo agio con l'inglese, direi. Do il benvenuto quindi a Anthony. Buongiorno, benvenuto, welcome.
Thank you very much, welcome to you. Thank you for having me on your program.
A few words about you before we begin. Your surname is obviously Italian. Where was your family from?
My family's from Sondrio in Valtellina, which is a part of Lombardia in the north on the Swiss border.
And did you come to Australia with your parents or were you born in Australia?
Oh, I was born in Australia not long after my father arrived. My father arrived here in 1951.
Anthony, you've written this book. It's not your first book for children, but you have just recently, over the last few years, become a kids' book author. What's your day job?
My day job is what I do is I support and invest in new technologies that can hopefully make a difference in the world. I look at environmentally sustainable technologies. I look at now how we can create more food. Without growing more food, I look at recycling, I look at upcycling waste materials, and basically I'm an entrepreneur.
What made you begin thinking about writing for kids' books?
I've always had an interest in writing generally and media. Part of my career, one of my careers was in media, straight after university when I worked for Australian Consolidated Press and a magazine called The Bulletin Magazine. But I've always had an interest in writing and writers, but not long after my father died, I decided that I would like to start writing some things and look at messages and things that he used to tell me, and I thought that would be something I could do generally. The best medium for me was the children's book medium, the picture book medium, because what I found was at that time there wasn't a lot of books that were written for fathers to read to children that were dedicated books for fathers. I thought it was a nice way of imparting some wisdom and some stories that I've been told. And it turned out that when I was doing that, everyone has the same story and everyone tells their children the same story. So it's just a way of putting it into a single framework, and picture books are exciting because it's that initial discovery in terms of reading. And I think it's a great medium to reach out to children.
So your first book was called Things My Pa Told Me. And I think it's also subtitled From Him to Me to You. So there's a sense of generations sharing the same knowledge, sharing the same lore in a way. Was this dedicated to your children?
It was dedicated to my children, Timothy and Antia, yes it was. But also, I think for that story, it's really every time, as I thought about the things that my father told me, they were exactly the same things and discussions with him over the years that his father told him. Turns out that we actually do pass down folklore from generation to generation. And I think every family's got the same stories that are being repeated generation after generation. So, yeah, that's why it's called From Him to You to Me. Because there's no doubt that the stories that my father told me are in part framed around what his father told him, and that we are products of our parents. So, and my children actually now throw back things to me in terms of what I told them. And I think back, and that was basically the same thing my father told me. So, yeah, I think folklore is generational. We are, we're a race of storytellers in every language. So, yeah, it was basically from each generation.
Recently, Anthony, you've written Where Happiness Hides, which is a book that is available online, but it's going to be very soon printed in English. However, online on the website, it is available in very many languages, including Italian. Where Happiness Hides is a lovely book that I think is pretty interesting to read, especially around this time for children who've been perhaps in lockdown for a long time in Melbourne, or in general dealing with a lot of uncertainty, anxiety in this very strange year we're living through. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, where Happiness Hides, again, bit of folklore, is really based around the story that we tell our children, that happiness is found in small things. We try and remind ourselves as well that happiness is found in small things. Normally only after tragedy do we actually think back and go, you know, and we pull back all of the things that are holding us back, and we actually do try and look for happiness in all of the small things. We look at happiness in our relationships. And we've been convincing ourselves over many, many years that big things make you happy. The irony about that is that we tell our children that it's not that big present, or it's not that car set, or it's not those other things that will make them happy. We always tell them it's actually small things. Turns out, when children are left on their own, they actually do find happiness in the smallest of things. Remember when we all gave a present to our children when they were young, and they got more excitement out of the box than the actual present they were given, and they would play forever with that little box. So it's one of those things that we do have to constantly remind ourselves. When we were going to originally publish this book, it was going to be published in hard copy in Australia, and it was scheduled to go to the Bologna Book Fair earlier this year. That got cancelled and was not going to happen. It was due for release later this year, but we thought, what can we do? How can we bring this to the world anyway? Who knows what the future of publishing was going to look like as a result of COVID-19. And then we worked out that wouldn't it be amazing if we could tell the same story in multiple languages? Every child in the world was facing a sense of upheaval and change in their lives, a little bit of uncertainty and doubt and wonderment in terms of where the world is going. And probably every child's parents in the apartments they lived in throughout the world were trying to say to their children, don't you be too depressed, there's happiness in small things. That's what I think anyway. And with that, I spoke to some friends, we raised some money, I spoke to the publisher, and we said, let's just give it away. Just give it away for free. Make sure that it's not about making money, it's not about our own egos. Let's just try and get this book out to as many languages as possible. So it's in 36 languages now, and I think it's been incredibly successful. We're looking at about 250,000 downloads of this book so far around the world in the multiple languages that we printed it in. But then we had I spoke to a good friend of mine, Greta Scarkey, in London, and I asked her if she could do a reading of the book and put that on YouTube. And she did, and that's been fantastic, and that's been very well received. And it's recently just been recorded in Greek as well. So it does get launched, I think, on the 25th of October, which is, I think, about a week away, in English and in Aboriginal language as well. And then we'll probably try and launch it around the world as quickly as we can next year, I think. See how this one goes in English language. But we think with the response that we've got with the online copy, we probably would have some interest around the world, especially in places like Europe, Italy, Spain. We've had some good results. China, we've had some really interesting numbers in terms of people looking at it. India was really good. Portuguese has been great. And we look at, I've got some things recently in Mandarin. There's been a number of visits to that website in Mandarin. So yeah, it might end up by being a global phenomenon.
Fantastic. The illustrations are by Jennifer Goldsmith. Can you tell us a little bit about how you collaborate with illustrators?
It's really interesting. I don't. When I say that, I originally thought a collaboration with an illustrator would start from the very beginning, and we'd talk about it. I'd tell them what I'd like and what I'd like to see in the book. With the first book that I did, I had no contact with Jonathan Bentley, who was the illustrator of that book. It turned out that the way that I work, which seems to be the best way for us, is I just give them the words. It's actually really hard to write 250 words. You actually start off with about 2,500 words, and when you look at picture books, it looks like anyone could write that you can't actually start off writing 200 words. You actually have to start with a very big story that you then redact down to try and make sure that you can keep the message but lose the words. So what I do is once that's finished and cleared by the publisher and my editor, we give it to the illustrator, and the illustrator comes up with a treatment. We don't even tell them. I don't tell them there's one child, there's two children. I don't tell them that there should be a bridge here. There should be, I think this would look great like this. They actually, what they do is they come up with their own interpretation of the story. They do some roughs. They do a treatment of the story. And in the last two instances, now the third, because we've just got a third book out that's coming out soon, I haven't been able to give them any direction. They've just picked it. Jennifer, every image you see there is Jennifer's, and originally with zero input from me. And then what happens at the very end, we might, you know, fine-tune and finesse, but Margrethe Lamond, who's my publisher at Dirtland Press, she knows me really well, and she picks the illustrator initially, and then she works with Jennifer. I don't see anything, and I didn't see anything from Jennifer until way down the track. She'd ring me up and she'd say, it's not there yet, it's not there yet, it's not there yet. I'll let you see something soon. Margrethe finesses it a little bit. Oh, she works very closely with Jennifer and finesses the images, but basically it's only until the very end that I have any input.
And were you happy with the result?
Yeah, it's stunning.
They're beautiful illustrations, are what I was about to say. They really work very well with the text.
And it was her idea, I gotta tell you. When happiness hides in small things, it's about looking for things. If you look through the text, you actually do have to find the last raspberry. You do have to find the letter that's on the shelf. You have to find the three animals' images in the clouds. That's all her doing. You know, she's very clever. At the very end, you actually look for the rainbow in the puddle. It's not in the sky. And so that's her interpretation of that. I think she's done a tremendous job.
Look, congratulations. Obviously, some people will see this online. Some people will wait for the print version of this book, but I'm sure it will be a great success. And thank you so much for talking to us about it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Volete ascoltare altre storie come questa? Potete trovarle su Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify o ovunque scarichiate i vostri podcast.